listening to a Sword of the Lord audio production. For many years, Dr. Curtis Hudson was the pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. He later became the second editor of the Sword of the Lord from 1980 until his death in 1995. The message you are about to hear was preached at the Forest Hills Baptist Church on April 5th, 1970. The title of the message is Christians Who Make God Sick. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
The book of Revelation, chapter 3. Please give your undivided attention tonight to the reading of God's Word, beginning with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. And many times as Christians, we need to be challenged. We need somebody to point our failure out to us. Sometimes we need to name sin, because we have a way of being blinded to it. Satan has a way of blinding us. And so tonight in this message, I pray that You'll challenge every Christian here and inspire them to be a red-hot Christian, on fire for the Savior, getting his prayers answered and winning souls to Christ and being a real testimony and exerting a real influence for good in his community. Bless me as I speak tonight. Grant that the message shall go forth with power, so much so that our hearts will ache to be right with God. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention tonight to verse 16. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I want to speak to you tonight very briefly on the subject, Christians who make God sick. Christians who make God sick. And you probably think that that's just a title, but it's really not. That's the truth taught in the Bible, right in these verses I've read tonight. The word spew here could be better translated vomit. Because thou art neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'll vomit thee out of my mouth. This particular message seems to have been given for the last days, the days just preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His own. I say that because if your Bible's open, I want you to notice chapter 4, verse 1 and following. He says, after this. After this. He's talking about something. After what? After what I just read to you. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And a voice, like a trumpet, spoke to me and said, come up hither. Every Bible student knows that has made a study of the book of Revelation that chapter 4, the first three verses, is a mention of the rapture of the church. And most Bible students know who've made a study of the Bible and especially of the book of Revelation, that the book of Revelation is a prophetic book, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that understand, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And if you're a serious Bible student, you know to look for the prophetic meaning when you study the book of Revelation. And if you look for the prophetic meaning, then in chapters 2 and 3, where the seven churches are mentioned, beginning with the church at Ephesus and ending with the church of Laodicea that I just read about, you know you have a pre-written history of Christendom, and the church of Laodicea is a message to Christendom just before the rapture of the church. I say that this message seems especially given for the last days. Jesus seems to say to the church, just before the rapture of the church, I know what you're thinking, church. I know how you think. As a matter of fact, he says it here. You think that you're rich and increased with goods and you have need of nothing. But he said, you don't know that you're poor and naked and blind and miserable. You think you're all right. You're self-satisfied. But he says, I've got something to say to you. He says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm and you make me sick. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Now, who are these that make God sick? They're certainly not the infidel. In verse 14, he said, unto the angel of the church, not to the infidels, write these things. It is certainly not the atheist. It is certainly not the self-confessed, unregenerate soul. Those who make God sick. It is certainly not the man who denies the deity of Jesus Christ because he's not saved. Those who make God sick are not those who are out and out for the devil, who sell whiskey and commit immorality and never go to the house of God, never read the Bible, and make no profession at Christianity. It is certainly not those. Because these people have never been intimate enough with Jesus Christ for him to spew them out of his mouth. He could not spew them out. The ones he's speaking to here are people that are saved. And he's not spewing them out because they're cold. He's spewing them out because they're lukewarm. Now be careful. This does not mean that a saved person could be lost after he was once saved. God Almighty will not deny his promises. Every promise in the Word of God is yea and amen in him. He'll not deny his promises. John 5:24, he promised, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation. He's not here placing him back into condemnation. Romans 8:38, he said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God. God Almighty certainly would not deny these promises in the Bible by casting off one of those who came to him. Because in John 6:37, he said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Promise after promise in the Bible. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He'll not deny that promise. But wait a minute. Does that mean that the Christian does not have anything to lose if he sins? Certainly not. Don't ever think that you have nothing to lose by sinning or getting away from Christ. You have plenty to lose. Write this down if you don't have it. Here's a good thing to remember, a little rule to follow. Everything that you have because of what Jesus has done for you, you can never lose it. But everything that you have because of what you've done for Jesus, you can lose it. I'll illustrate it. You have heaven and eternal life, not because of what you've done for him, but because of what he's done for you. He died at the cross. He paid your sin debt at Calvary, and you're going to heaven on a free pass. On the other hand, you have joy because of obedience. John 13, 17. If you know these things, happy are ye, joy, if you do them. You can lose your happiness then, you can lose your joy, because that is a result of what you've done. Joy is the fruit of obedience. You can lose that. You can lose your answers to prayer. Because you get answers to prayer depending upon what kind of life you live. David said in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I tolerate known sin, I can't get my prayers answered. But if I live a good, holy, clean life, I can get my prayers answered. But I can lose this business of getting answers to my prayer. I can lose my joy. 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. I have fellowship with Christ because I keep myself clean and walk in the light. I can lose that fellowship because it's a result of what I've done. I can lose my influence. And oh, influence is a powerful thing. Dr. George W. Truett said, I had rather die a young man and be buried alive. He said, I'd rather be buried alive in my coffin today as a young man than to live a day longer and influence somebody to die and go to hell by my life. And I had too. You can lose your influence. Lot lost his influence in Sodom. You doubt it? Read it. He didn't have enough influence on his kinfolks to get him to follow him out of Sodom. You can lose your happiness. You can lose the fact that you enjoy your salvation. Psalm 51, David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You can lose, and a lot of you's lost it. When he says you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out. It does not mean you'll be lost, but it does mean that you can become a castaway, as Paul said he wished he would not be a castaway, laid on the shelf, not being used of God. It does mean that. And you know, here's a verse that you don't like to read, and when you read it, you just read it fast and try not to think about what it's saying because it doesn't sound to suit you. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You'll hear much preaching about that because it's hard to get up and tell a congregation that God Almighty had rather have you an infidel and a blasphemer and an unregenerate sinner than to be a lukewarm church member. It just doesn't sound right. You say, God Almighty would rather me be lost and on my way to hell than to be saved but be indifferent and lukewarm. That's exactly what it says. God Almighty said it's better for me if you're lost, if you're going to hell, than to be a lukewarm, indifferent church member. Now, it's not better for you. It's better for you to get saved and live wishy-washy and shallow and be lukewarm and indifferent and die and go to heaven. But it's better for God and the cause of Christ that you're lost. Because by your indifferent, lukewarm life, you send 1,000 to hell while you live. I wish you didn't have my name on you. You're going out and say you're saved and you sip beer and dress immodest and smoke cigarettes and you're not all a... You're not cold, you're just lukewarm. And you do more harm to the cause of Christianity than a man who gets out and shakes his fist in the face of God and says, there is no God. Of course you feel it's better to be lukewarm, but God said it's, what? I wish you'd lost. I'd rather you be lost and on your way to hell than to get saved and then live just as sorry as you can and barely make heaven, lose all your rewards, and go in with all your works burned up. Because your life has done more to harm the cause of Christianity than it would have been if you'd just been lost. Cold. I wish you'd been cold. If you was a preacher, you'd know what I'm talking about. I go out and they say, but he's so-and-so a member of your church. Yes. Well, I don't wear my skirts as short as she does. Mr. So-and-so a member of your church. Yeah. Well, he smokes cigarettes. I don't do that. You say, am I going to hell? No, you're going to heaven, but you're sending some other folks to hell by your lukewarm life, and God said, I'd rather you be cold. Indifference is the dry rot of the church.
sympathy. Take it or leave it. Stay at home or go. Give or don't give doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just lukewarm, and God said I wished you was cold. Your pallid Christianity damns a multitude of souls. Why is it that a fervent, godly missionary, alone on a foreign field, can win more souls to Jesus Christ in a year than a big fashionable church with carpets and air conditioned and 1,000 members can win in that same year? The answer is we've got too many lukewarm Christians. Lenin said, I had rather have one fanatic than 10,000 placid followers. But we are afraid of the word fanatic. And what God is saying here is I wish you'd get to be a fanatic or just wouldn't be saved at all. Somebody called, well, you're just a fanatic. And I ain't going to that church. That preacher's fanatic. Thank God, brother. I'm glad you said that. Talking about how people dress and smoking. Well, he's a fanatic. Good, brother. That's what God wants you to be. I want you to get red hot. I want you to breathe fire when you preach. Lord, they don't like me. Well, I love you. Stay hot. Folks at the job thinks I'm a fanatic. That's great. That's exactly what I want them to think. Get hot. You ever watch a ball game? The fella gets to hitting every basket. And they say, so-and-so's hot tonight. Well, that's the way God wants you to be. Hot all the time. I'd rather you be that way. If you can't be that way, say, just be cold. Don't be lukewarm. Self-satisfied lukewarmness. In Judges 16 and 20, the Bible said Samson went out, and he shook himself, and he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed. A lot of Christians get like that. You park an old car under the shed, and leave it parked long enough, and you go back and try to blow the horn. She won't sound. The lights won't burn. The battery's dead. It won't crank up. And there's a lot of lukewarm Christians been parked long enough that it's going to take a booster to get them going. In the first place, we are lukewarm about personal holiness. You're not cold on morality. Why, you'd be the first to raise your brow at a topless. Some of you Christians in here wouldn't think of wearing a topless. But you might better go to the mirror. It's getting short on the other end. You wouldn't want people to go around naked. But the way you dress causes people to lust more so than it was naked. You're just lukewarm. You're not for nakedness. You're just for semi-nakedness. You're lukewarm about personal holiness. Your heart doesn't burn. It's not on fire to be the best Christian you can live. Be and live as good as you can live. You say, well, everybody's doing it, and this is the style. Well, it's the wrong style. You don't want to get in a church where they preach and want you to do right. You want to get where they can be lukewarm. God said, I wish you was cold. I'd rather you be lost and on your way to hell than to be like that. I didn't say it. God said it. You know why I'm burdened about this thing? We are lukewarm about this business of personal holiness. You say, well, Spurgeon smoked. He also quit. Nobody tells you that. He walked down the street one day and saw some cigars in the store window and a sign behind it, this is the brand that Spurgeon smokes. So the story says that I read, and he said, if they're advertising what I smoke as a preacher, he said, I quit. You're not saying how clean can I live and how separated can I be and how holy can I be for God, but you just sort of are lukewarm about this matter of personal holiness. George Mueller burned the French novels that he had translated when he may have sold them for much money because he is concerned about his personal holiness. George Mueller gave up the girl he loved very well because he was concerned about his personal holiness. General Stonewall Jackson walked several miles in the dark one night to correct a misstatement. When he got back where the man was, he said, "I said that was on Tuesday night, but I have learned that I was mistaken. It was on Thursday night," and he turned and went back home. He was real concerned about his personal holiness. But we can tell little white lies and everything else and don't think a thing about it. God said, "What do you be cold? What's the matter with the church? I'd just rather you be cold." And then we're lukewarm about this matter of prayer. We sort of hit and miss. We don't really get down to business in our prayer life. How many of you get on your knees and start praying, and an hour and a half later, you look down and you say, "Well, I thought it was about 15 minutes. Your prayers are set on the run. You usually go to sleep before you finish them. How many of you are hot in the matter of prayer? How many of you can pray until heaven opens and the blessing comes? How many of you pray for something and get it? Or you just pray a little bit because you think a Christian ought to pray once in a while. It's just sort of like brushing your teeth. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God bless mother and daddy. How many of you are still praying that? Nothing wrong with that if you mean it. But are you hot in this matter of prayer? Is there a spot somewhere where you rush out and you can't wait to get there and get on your knees and say, "Oh God, I'm so glad to be here this morning"? Or are you praying, thinking about feeding the chickens and ironing the clothes and washing the clothes and fixing breakfast and you can't get your mind on what you're... Are you hot in the matter of prayer? Are you lukewarm? But God said, "If you're not hot, I wish you was cold." You make God sick when you come in just halfway pray and your mind's way over yonder and you're not in earnest and you're not on fire and your prayer's not getting answered. God says, "You make me sick." Bah. And how many of you are lukewarm tonight in the matter of soul winning? You're not cold. You want to belong to a soul winning church. If somebody says, "Where do you belong?" You want to say, "I belong at Forest Hill Baptist Church. We have people saved every Sunday." You want to say that, but how many of you led to Christ in the last 3 years? You're not cold. You're not against it. But you're just lukewarm. Last Sunday, nobody walked the aisle. First time, I guess, in several years. Somebody come to me and said, "What's the matter?" I'll tell you what's the matter. We was lukewarm. This matter of soul winning. We wasn't hot. Nobody got out and wanted anybody to Christ. That's what happened. Out of 1,300 members, everybody was lukewarm. God says, "I'd rather you get in there and roll up your sleeves and fight till the blood rolls down your britches leg than just sort of hit at it every once in a while. Have a revival meeting, a man preaches on soul winning, and you come over Thursday night for two Thursday nights, and then you miss till the next soul winning lecture, and then you come to two Thursday nights after the next soul winning lecture. You're lukewarm. God said, "I wish you was cold and on your way to hell." God says, "You make me sick. I'm going to vomit you out." We have 66 at visitation. I wish somebody would say, "Was you there?" That's our church ad in the paper. You know where it says so many saved? That's where I go. But how many of you ever wondered the Lord and walked down the aisle with? You're lukewarm. You can take it or leave it. God said, "I wished you was on fire. I wished you was cold. I wish you'd get hot. I wish you'd get so hot about winning souls that every fellow you saw in the shopping center, you'd grab him by the collar and say, 'Say, you say.' Go to work in the morning. When the fellow says, 'Have a cup of coffee,' say, 'If you're saved, are you saved? Are you going to heaven?' I wish you'd get hot about this matter instead of just every once in a while. So handing somebody a Bible tract when it's real convenient, nothing hinders you. If our church get hot about the matter of soul winning, we could turn this town upside down the next 2 months. I mean turn it upside down, and the liberal newspapers be doing write-ups on it. Have to. But we're lukewarm about it. Honey, it's about visitation time. Reckon I'll have time to get a shower and get ready. But I don't know, honey. You hadn't eaten yet. And I did want to go to the shoe store. Why don't you wait next Thursday?
you lukewarm something, you make God sick. Well, I go eat tonight, and next Thursday now, I want us both to plan to go. Next Thursday comes. You know, I'm so tired. And I think I'm catching the bug. No, you ain't caught the bug. The bug's done caught you. But it's not the bug you're talking about. I think I'm getting the flu. Maybe I better stay in and get ready for Sunday. You lukewarm something, you make God sick. I think God looks down at us and he sees us. And he don't you know he sees all that and hears you talking and reasoning? And you going along, God looks down and says, "That Forest Hill bunch, I wish they'd have one coal. I'd get along better with them that way. Why don't you come in if you hadn't had any supper? And say, honey, I'm going to be a little late, but I'm going to call the preacher, and then I'm going to get me a shower, and I'm going to run as fast as I can, get and hold somebody to go with me. I'm going tonight. I'm going to get hot in this matter of witnessing the people and winning people to Jesus Christ. You're not cold about it. You get excited when people walk down this aisle and bow and get saved. And every Sunday when I get an invitation, I'll see your eyes get big, and you go to looking. All going to see how many's coming. You're not cold about it, but you're lukewarm about it. God said, I wished you was hot or cold. You say, I can't come Thursday night. Well, what about you going Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday night or Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon? Don't you think you might get an hour somewhere out of the entire week that you go knock on somebody's door and tell them you love them? We said get saved and tell them how to be saved and pray with them. Don't you think you could do that? You're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, you make me sick. I'll vomit you out. I wish you was cold or hot. Let me tell you something. Are you hot about the church? Are you lukewarm? God said, I wish you was cold. No, you're not very hot about the church. I have prayer meeting every Wednesday night, but you never come. I'm preaching to some here that's never been to a prayer meeting. And you say you love God and you make God sick. I'm not talking about men who work the second shift and people who cannot come, but I'm talking about these folks who sit at home on prayer meeting night and watch television when it could be in prayer meeting with the church. Prayer meeting is not important to you. You're lukewarm about prayer. God said, I wish you was cold. I wish you didn't even pray at all. I'd rather you never open your mouth. I'd rather you not even pray than to be the way you are, lukewarm. What about the Bible, friend? Are you lukewarm about the Bible? Are you red hot about it? Do you look forward to getting home in the evening where you can grab your Bible and run to the room by yourself and close the door and read it? Or does a wife have to say to you, honey, are you going to read the Bible with the kids tonight, or do you want me to read it? Both of you are lukewarm. Both of you make God sick. You ought to be fighting over who's going to do it. Well, there was a program I wanted to watch. I didn't want to miss it. I'll read it with them tomorrow night. You go tonight. God said, I wish you just both of you close the door and get on back there and watch your television. You make me sick, both of you. Are you red hot about the Bible? You get excited just before the preacher gets to the platform and opens it up. You get red hot and your heart starts burning. And you said, boy, I can't hardly wait. If I'm ready for him to announce his text, are you sitting there? Are you hot or lukewarm? God said, I'd rather you be plumb cold, not open it at all, and just go on down and put it in the cedar chest than just every once in a while pick it up and just on the run read a verse. Because I'd rather you get red hot about it, just freeze up one or the other. Your lukewarmness is making me sick. I can't stand it. Are you listening? What about your Christian giving? Are you hot about giving? You get excited when we stand up here and say, we'll have the ushers come forward and receive the offering. You get excited?
You grab for your pocketbook, put a smile on your face and say, honey, you got the checkbook? You made out a check yet? Yeah, I made. How much was it? $20. Well, let's make out another one for $20. Oh, and she said, I made out one for $20. Well, I didn't make but $190. You shouldn't have made it out for $19, darling. In a Bible-believing church, in a Bible-preaching church, you ought never to have a budget campaign. And I'll quit preaching before I'll have a budget committee to go out and ask for pledges. If it don't go in the plate, when the plate comes around, we won't pay the bills. And when the bills are not paid and I'm embarrassed, I'm gone. You're welcome. If you think I'm going to call in somebody to put on a stewardship campaign, you're crazy. I get a letter every week telling me how that they can come here for maybe $75 and guarantee me to get my offering up 30%. Outfits all over. We can get your offering up. We can double your... What's your... Send us this little card back. What's your membership? What's your offering? We'll write back and tell you how much we can increase it if you'll give us $150. We'll have a week stewardship campaign. Blah! You make God sick. The fellow who wrote the letter knows who read it and let him come back down here. All of you make God sick. Preacher, teach on tithing or giving, and you give 10% for the next 2 weeks. If he doesn't hit tithing in the next 3 weeks, you quit. So somebody else comes along about 2 years later, happens to teach on it again, and you get started again for 2 weeks. You lukewarm something, you make God sick. Make $300 or $400 and put a dollar in the offering plate, you make God sick. Spend $50 for a fishing reel, $10 for license, $500 for a boat and motor. Give $135 to the church in a year's time. You lukewarm something. You make God sick. If the Christians in this church were red hot about their giving, that offering would double next Sunday. But the truth of it is, there's just a few red hot ones, and that's the way we keep going, brother. The rest of you, a bunch of hobos and freeloaders and lukewarm, and you make God sick. You get a bonus about $1,500 and you tip God an extra $10. And say, honey, don't you think we ought to put a little extra something in? Yeah, put $10 in. Made a $1,500 bonus. You make God sick. There's not a Christian living who ought to think about giving anything less than 10% of what God blesses him with. Somebody said, I got to pay my just and honest debts. Yeah, and your first one's to God. But I got notes on a television, and I got notes on a boat, and I got notes on a car. God didn't make the notes, you made them. Go sell half of it. I wish you'd holler cold. This business of dropping a quarter in an offering plate and a dollar every once in a while, and not really getting down to sacrificial giving, is making me sick. God said, I wish you wouldn't give a thing. You make me sick. You neither hot nor cold, you make me sick. That's what's the matter of Christianity. And the thing that's worse is after you hear about it, you still go out lukewarm about the sermon you heard. That's the worst of all. To have your sin spotted out and you know that you're lukewarm, and to go out and say, well, preacher, you got a little excited. We must need some more money or something. That's the worst thing of all. No, brother, I don't need any more money. I've never went hungry a day in my life. When I walked off the post office job 6 years ago, I was making $75 a month. My wife eats that much. Don't you tell her she's at home tonight. If you tell her, you won't be lukewarm, you'll be dead. I don't need anything, man. Somebody said, the
preacher ought to work for a living.
No.
The preacher ought to work for God Almighty, and God Almighty ought to supply his living, and if God doesn't supply his living, he ought to quit preaching. I don't work for a living. Never have worked for a living. I work for God Almighty. He takes care of my living. The preacher who's working for a living and working for what he's getting out of it ought to quit preaching tomorrow. I've had a multiplicity of offers to leave here and double my salary. I'm not working for that. I'm working for God. As long as God wants me here, I'm going to stay here, whether you like these lukewarm sermons or not. And as long as you keep coming, I'm going to keep slapping you in the face. Till you get under so much conviction that you say, bless God, I'm going out here. I'm tired of my lukewarmness. I'm making God sick. Man, I hadn't been to prayer meeting since I've been a member here. I'm going to prayer meeting Wednesday night. I'm going to get red hot. I'm going home to draw some money out of the bank and catch him on some back giving. I'm going to get hot. I hadn't won a soul in 6 months. I'm going out this week and win me 5 or 6 to Christ. I'm going to get hot. I'm getting up in the morning. If I have to do that in my breakfast, I'm going to read the Bible. And I'm going to read it till I enjoy reading it. I'm going to get hot. We're rich and increased with goods. We put up a new educational building. It's carpeted all the way through. We got American standard fixtures in the bathrooms. Water fountains on every floor. You bunch of lukewarm somethings, you make God sick. God don't care whether you got carpet in your floor or not. He don't care if you're in a barn, just so you're red hot. We gonna build a new auditorium. See, 2,500 people. God don't care if you're meeting a cow pasture so you stay hot. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to get so hot for God that when I get around the fella, he's gonna sizzle. And I hope you're gonna do that too. Let's stand to our feet. Our Heavenly Father, help us to mean business for God. Help the folk to take the message in the spirit of trying to preach it in. We can get red hot about a dress sale, a red hot about new furniture, a red hot about a little league ball game, a red hot about football or basketball, and red hot about a new car. We'll drive all over town, show all of our friends our new car, but we can't get red hot for Jesus. Lord, set this church on fire. May there be some meaningful decisions in this building tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have a place down here to pray. And I'm not going to sing 5 or 6 verses and say, who'll come? And I'm not going to beg you all night to come. But if I've read your mail tonight, and your heart hurts, come tell Jesus about it. I'm not going to meet you, and I'll stand here. If you have something particular you want to tell me about, I'll listen to you. But if you're a little old, defeated, lukewarm Christian and making God sick, about anything I've mentioned tonight, you've been lukewarm about, or anything else I didn't mention, you know you're lukewarm about certain things. I want you to come here and say, God, I'm sorry I made you sick. Now, I don't know about anybody else in this church, but here's one for us here, a church member's going to get red hot. I didn't know you meant that, Lord. You'd rather me be cold and on my way to hell than to be lukewarm. I didn't know I was doing such damage to the cause of Christianity. I'm going to get red hot for God tonight. If you mean that, while the organist plays something, anything she wants to select, without any music, just come right here and kneel anywhere you want to kneel, and I'll lead you in prayer. Come on, I'll wait for you. Does anybody want to warm up for God? Come on. All right, come on. We'll only play just a moment. If you're going to come, you better come now. If there's any particular area in your life where you know you've been lukewarm, you've been there, come on. You're not going to better your condition until you recognize your true condition. Come on, just come on, kneel down here. Tell the Lord about it. Lord, I'm lukewarm here. Lord, I'm lukewarm here. I'm lukewarm in my giving. I'm lukewarm in my prayer life. I'm lukewarm about my witnessing. I'm lukewarm about the church. I'm lukewarm about my Bible, Lord. I'm lukewarm about personal holiness. I haven't really cared anything about how good I live. Some of you teenagers, You've tried to keep up with the fashions, and you hadn't thought much about your personal holiness. You ought to come tell God you're sorry. You ought to come tell God you're sorry. Say, Lord, I'm lukewarm. I'm sorry. Come on, we'll wait a moment. I'll let you be seated in just a second. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, some are here who in their heart wanted to come but did not come. Others came. I don't want to be a hard preacher, but the church of God ought to rise up and take the banner and go forth like a mighty army and show the world what Christians can be. Not just a church member, but a real, dedicated, consecrated, separated Christian that nobody can put a finger on. I thank you for these who came and who are confessing lukewarmness in some particular area in their life. Set our hearts on fire, and may it burn and burn and burn and burn. And may God never look at us and say, you make me sick. You're not hot nor cold. I wish you was hot or cold, because your lukewarmness, your indifference is making me sick. Lord, may you never say that to us. Whatever it takes to stay hot and on fire for God helps to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.